This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, today we are celebrating Florida authors. Over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to have quite a number of Florida authors on so that we can talk about how wonderful it is to write books here in Florida. And I am so happy to welcome to the program Gail. You know, I didn't ask you how to pronounce your last name.
Massey.
I wanted to make sure. I have recently mispronounced two authors' names. I don't know. You know, I read their books. And I think, you know, I know them so well, but until I meet them, sometimes I'm pronouncing their name wrong. So, okay, so it's Massey.
It is Massey.
Massey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well,
it's an honor to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here, Gail. We're going to be talking about your wonderful book called The Girl from Blind River. We'll talk about it in a minute. At the bottom of the hour, I have a fascinating author. She's going to be talking about her book called Things I Only Tell My Friends, and it's by Lori Ann Keenan. And I'm looking forward to talking to her. She's sort of like the Ann Landers, if anyone remembers Ann Landers, of this age. She has lots of advice, and it's such an eclectic assortment of advice. I mean, she goes from telling you what to do in Fiji to how to really carry out a great wedding and save money. Her ideas are so clever, and she's done everything, and so it's really going to be fun to talk to her. And so she'll be on after the break at the bottom of the hour. And before I start talking to Gail about her book, I wanted just to mention that Father's Day is coming up, and I would love to recommend lots of books to you. One of them is, of course, Tim McGee's Worthy McGuire. It is a book based on D-Day, and I love this book, and it's a book that he self-published, and I just hope that a publisher will pick it up and republish it from a major company, because he has just written an absolutely delightful book. And so we will have that. Also, I will have a little promo for him at the bottom of the hour. And for Father's Day, you know, it's always hard to know just what to get your father after you've, you know, exhausted the ties and the t-shirts and all of that. But one of the nice gifts is an anthology. Anthologies are really nice because, you know, there's sure to be at least one story that your father will really like, and probably many more. And if it's an anthology that has been edited by Lawrence Block, who is a mystery writer of America Grandmaster, you're sure to find many stories in there that not only your father will like, but that you will like. And the most recent one is called At Home in the Dark. And a few weeks ago, I had four of the authors who contributed to that book on the program. And you can hear their interview on my website, which is radio-joyonpaper.com. And I have posted all four interviews, and they are fascinating. And I will, right at the end of the program, I will talk a little bit about how much I enjoyed talking to them. But right now, let's talk about Florida. You know, Florida, isn't Florida wonderful?
Oh, it's the best place.
It's the best place. I went up to New York 2 weeks ago. I went to New York, and it was May, and it was 54 degrees during the day. 54 degrees. It was May 13th. I arrived. I left here, and it was like 92 degrees at 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I arrive over there at noon, and it is 54 in the middle of the day.
Was anyone filming this? Because it sounds pretty extreme to me.
No, everybody, they're all, you know, dressed in their, actually, they thought it was pretty
pretty
warm.
They thought it was a good day.
Yeah, it was a good day for them. So I said, oh, no, oh, no. We are just so lucky to be here in Florida. And not only is it a great place to write, it's a great place to win awards. And you just won a wonderful award, the Florida Book Awards. Tell us about that.
That was a surprise and terribly exciting. It was a great validation, especially for a debut author to win an award like that from my home state. It gave me a real shot in the arm. I'm very proud of it.
Well, I have quite a few of the authors who won for this year are going to be, for 2018, are going to be on the program. I've already invited quite a number of them, including Rob Sanders. I've invited who else? Don Davies for general nonfiction. Kimberly Lojewski, you said I should invite. I haven't invited her yet.
She's wonderful.
I will invite her. And I love to help local authors promote their books. And whenever I have a chance, I love to bring people here into the studio. And it's so wonderful to have you here because the entire, you work so hard to write your book, and then you have to get out there and promote it, and it's just wonderful to be able to see. I love to see the enthusiasm on an author's face when they're talking about their book, and you absolutely have to be very proud of this book. Everybody knows who's listened to me. About a year ago, I said I would never read another book that had the girl in the title, because I get so many ever since Girl Gone and this and this and this, right? So many, aren't there?
Oh, there are tons.
Tons. And I said, I can't take it anymore. I just can't. And I said, I'm not going to read anymore. But then you came along, and I am so glad that I read this book, because The Girl from Blind River, in this case, it is really... Really, the girl is the character. The girl takes over this book. It's an overwhelming presence.
Yes, it's definitely Jamie's story. And she is a girl. She's 19. She's moving into womanhood. But this is the crux of her coming of age.
And you see her as a girl, making mistakes that a girl... when you're a little older, you know not to do some of these things, or you hope you know not to do some of these things. Uh-huh. So she's vulnerable. Where, you're from St. Petersburg originally?
Yes.
So, but regular St. Petersburg, just like downtown, regular St. Petersburg, which is a lovely place, but it's a lot different from Blind River.
Yeah, when I started to write the story, the images that were coming to me were of cold and sleet and ice, and I felt like I needed to be true to those images, but I also didn't think I was prepared at that point in my career to write a story based in Florida, because Florida is so crazy. So I wanted to write the story and place it somewhere where I could control the town, where I could make the town up instead of having to deal with all the crazy events that happen in Florida.
Whoa. And so have you been? Have you lived?
Yes.
Did you spend your summers in a place called Blind River?
I actually spent a summer in Red Hook and Rhinebeck in New York. So that's why I placed the story there, because there's a casino around in that area. And I needed a casino
vicinity. You needed a casino because you have to tell us. I mean, another big part of this book is gambling.
Poker.
And poker. I love... I've never had the opportunity really to play poker, but I love watching... I love this... It's crazy. I'm sitting with the big guys, and they're holding their cards, and you're trying to see, how they're doing it and what's going to happen. So were you... How did you make poker? It's really... Poker is also a star of this book.
Yeah, I love poker. Poker is a wonderful game. It has a lot of facets. It's math and social skills and deceit. So it's a great sport or industry. I think there's a conversation about whether it's a sport or an industry. But I wanted to write a book about a young woman excelling in a male-dominated sport. And I started learning to play poker, and it just occurred to me one day that this would be a beautiful setting to write a novel around, because within the novel, you're always wanting to get all the characters back in the same room so they can go at each other. And poker provided that very easily when everybody comes back to the table to play the tournament.
It does. I think I learned a lot just, you know, from reading this about poker that I didn't know. So you had been playing poker for years before you started?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was studying poker about as much as I was studying fiction writing.
Ah.
So the two just came together one day.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know if I'll ever play poker with you. Do you have a tell?
I probably have five.
Yeah.
I'm demonstrative. I'm always waving my hands and making faces. So yeah.
My brother entered one of those poker things in Las Vegas. He got fairly, you know, up there, not up to the top, because that's really difficult.
Uh-huh. Oh, it is.
I don't know. I think his wife would have had like a nervous breakdown. I think she was nervous enough, you know, when the money gets bigger. But so tell us about the story where you came up with the idea for the girl, Jamie,
mm-hmm.
and tell us more about her background.
So I was playing in a poker tournament at Derby Lane. It was an all-women poker tournament. And it was early in the game, but I had pocket kings. And so I had like the second best hand available. And I made a big bet. And this young woman across the way turned and she sort of faced me and sort of like, you know, gave me this body language of, I've got you beat. And I thought, well, who are you? I've got pocket kings. So she like went all in, and I called her, of course, and I ended up winning the hand. But I left the game thinking, how does a young woman somewhere around 19 or 20 years old get to be such a good poker player? So that was the essential first question that the book posed to me. So I had to figure out, who is Jamie?
Well, you did a great job. So tell us about the family around her. How's she? A little bit.
Her family, her mother is just out of prison in the book. Jamie learned poker from her mother. It's some families just play poker. That's what they do. And Jamie learned how to play from her mom as they were, as she was a kid sitting around the kitchen table. That's what they did. So that's how Jamie became such a good poker player. And that set up a great dynamic for me between Jamie and her mother, because eventually her mother goes to prison for writing a bad check, but with good reason. And then she comes out of prison, and Jamie and she are estranged. So there's this great mother-daughter dynamic. The woman taught Jamie everything she needs to know about poker, and yet Jamie doesn't really want to identify with her because she's an ex-con.
Yeah, and the entire industry near this town, the gambling industry, it's a pretty rough business there.
Yeah, I think so. I've been to some games that are, you know, pretty sketchy. I've been to some casinos that are pretty sketchy. Yeah.
And it is a wonderful setting. And tell us about her brother.
Toby. Toby is guided by a love for his mother that is infantile, that he can't see very far beyond. So he wants nothing more than to be reunited with his mother. And then there's this small scene where she wants him to go join the army. So he feels betrayed because she's only been back in town a few months. And now she's asking him to graduate from high school and join the army. So he feels very betrayed. And he has a lot of rage about having lost his father as an 8-year-old boy and then having his mother sent to prison for 8 years when he was 10. So he's troubled. And the uncle doesn't really give him much guidance.
Well, you know, you received a lot of praise for this book from some very important people who read it and just commented on your ability, both your ability to capture the essence of this life in a very compelling way, but also that there's a lyrical tilt to your writing, that there's you have a wonderful flow. And let's just talk about a few of the wonderful reviews you got, because when people say, like, this novel manages to be both poetic and propulsive, and you know, it's that's a great compliment.
Yeah.
And so you got all these.
Yeah, I got I have been going to writers' conferences for a few years, and I was able to connect with some amazing writers who found my work pleasing. So that they were giving me lots of accolades, and it meant a lot to me. It still means a lot to me. If I have a look at the back cover, there's Lori Roy, there's Sterling Watson, there's
and Stuart Onan.
Stuart Onan.
He was on my program 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He is such a wonderful person. I enjoyed that half hour with him so much that I've invited him back.
Okay.
Because I didn't have enough time with him. And the way he writes about your book, smart, sharp, fast, thriller, ratchets up the action, making the reader lean forward till the turn of her last card. That is a great compliment from him, because he is a brilliant writer. And I when I read that, I said, whoa, this is something special.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, I know that, you know, one of the things that it's so wonderful that what you've done is prepared yourself for this kind of success, that you did go to writers' conferences before you had a book coming out. And a lot of times authors will, or people will be writing books, and they say, well, I'll start going to writers' conferences when I publish my book. But that's too late. You need to make those connections in advance.
Yeah, I think so. But that's who I learned from. I took classes with all of these people, almost all of these people. So to me, going to the conferences was how I built my toolbox, I learned how to write.
And keeping up the connection, once you meet them and once you take a class, to keep up that connection, to stay in contact, and you know, when they have a book, you buy the book and write a nice review on their...
Right.
On their Amazon page. And all of that adds up, and it really makes a difference.
It does. It does. And writers who have a little bit of or a lot of experience under the belt are generally pretty darn generous when their students cross the threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're excited, too. They like to, it's a confirmation that they've done a good job, that, you know, mm-hmm. that something, some little bit of them is in that book, that you got some idea, you gleaned some information from that, maybe, you know, a few hours that you spend with them, mm-hmm. but you've gotten something. And I think that they get really thrilled about it. And so that's why there are many, many conferences coming up. Of course, during the summer, there are lots of wonderful conferences. And I do hope that all of you will think about going if you... Some of it's too late. And I do want to remind all of you authors who write sort of middle grade, young adult books, please sign up for the Big Sur workshop, which is in December. You have to sign up in June to get it in December. But the Big Sur workshop for young adult and children's authors is the very, very best. Out of that... I believe out of that workshop, at least 900 authors over the past 10 years have been published, because you are working with some of the best agents and best writers in the world are at that workshop. Some people will say it's a little bit more expensive than some of the, you know, conferences, mm-hmm. but sometimes a workshop where you're having a very intense time with the participants is really great. And I every June I tell people, if you plan to write for children, do the Big Sur.
Yeah, I think it's really important to see what agents are going to be at the conference, and it's really important to do your homework on those agents too.
Exactly, and that's why I know at the Big Sur all of the agents and many of the people involved are also connected to Hollywood, and they have brought some of the authors straight to Hollywood. It's very difficult to get into Hollywood. Do not fall for any of these scams where people send you email saying, we will get you into Hollywood. It doesn't happen. But through a workshop like this, Andrea Brown runs this workshop, and she is top-notch. She's one of the few literary agents who was able to pick up and move from New York City and move to San Francisco. Hmm. You know, most literary agents, they still have to be in New York City because that's where the action is.
Right.
And, you know, they try, and they most don't make it outside of New York City. Only Andrea Brown really has made it big time, and so she's one of the agents that I highly recommend, and Big Sur is one of them. So, you know, for you, I think that you are on the right road. I love this award on the book cover. Isn't it pretty? It's so nice. It gets you so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are many more awards coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just want to thank you so much. Tell us your website.
It's GailMasseyBooks.com.
Okay, Gail Massey Books, because if you don't register, I tell all of you, if you don't register your name, right? Even if you're just dreaming about writing a book, register your name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, unless you have a very unusual name, like Patsy with a Z, you'll land up adding either books or authors. And sometimes people will do a search and they say, I can't find it. And I say, well, check it. Did she have to use books or did she have to use author? Yeah. But so Gail Massey, and what else do you have on your website? Are you doing a blog or anything? Not yet. Okay, you could just go to the website, and there's links there to buy the book on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Oh, the Audible. I like the Audible.
What about it? Do you like?
The voice.
Yes. Oh, what is her name? It's something Elvis Presley. Presley is her last name. Yeah, she's wonderful.
She's got a great voice. I like it very much.
Yeah, I do too.
And June is also Audible Book Month. So if you want to check out some Audible books, this is a really good one. I have two girl books on Audible. Girl Gone and Girl, I don't know. So now I'm going to get a third one. I'm going to get That Girl from Blind River, because you have created Blind River out of nothing. Living here in Florida, we expect you to write something in the Everglades, but you've done Blind River up in New York. You've done a great job.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Okay, well, I want to again thank you for being on the program today. It's been a joy to talk to you. And are you working on your next book?
I am. My next book is set in between Tampa and Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Well,
I'm coming home.
Okay, coming home to the best state, absolutely the best state. Everybody, Florida is wonderful. After being in New York, I appreciate it even more. Okay, I want to play the promo for Tim McGee's book, Worthy McGuire, and then we'll have a commercials, and I'll be right back.
Is a book that will touch your heart. A gripping tale of a gruff old man who needs to keep a promise made during the horrors of the D-Day invasion. For Worthy, it's a mission of the heart. Will his dysfunctional family stand in his way? Selfish and greedy, they are all he has. Can his quest to find a woman from his past change them? Or will they try to stop him before he can reach the beaches of France where his destiny changed? D-Day is a day that can never be forgotten. Worthy McGuire is a tale of redemption that touches on the importance of a promise made and kept. Available wherever books are sold.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I am so excited. I have an absolutely wonderful guest. You know, I love books where I could just pick them up and start reading them, and then I'm like, whoa, this is so exciting. And this book reminded me actually of Debbie Reynolds' Make 'Em Laugh, because when I was talking to Debbie about that book, she just was so chatty in that book, just making everybody feel as if you're sitting right there with her as she was, talking. And so I was really thrilled when I got this book. It's by Lori Ann Keenan. And it's just one of these books you pick up. You can pick it up anywhere, actually, and start reading. And I've been thumbing through this book. I think I've done it twice now. I read it once, and then I went back and I read some of my favorite parts, because I tell you, Lori Ann has lived an exciting life. She's done so many things, and she's been so many places, and she's just my kind of person, because she has enthusiasm, and that's always what I find so wonderful. When you find that joy in life. And certainly Lori Ann has done that. And so I'm really just so happy, you know, to talk to somebody who just is full of joy. Hi, Lori. Lori Ann?
Hey, Patsy, how are you?
Okay, well, Lori Ann, I love this book.
Thank you.
I think Things I Only Tell My Friends. I was remarking before you came on, that it reminded me of Debbie Reynolds' book, Make 'Em Laugh, because I knew Debbie Reynolds. I wrote a movie for her, and I was talking about her book, Make 'Em Laugh. In that book, she manages to make the reader feel as if you're sitting right there with her. And so it's the same with your book, Things I Only Tell My Friends. You make us feel as if we're your friends.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, you've had a fascinating life. There's so much in this book. I don't know where to start. There were so many. I had just recently gone to a wedding. So one of the areas that I found so fascinating was your advice on weddings. But you have, this is, of course, tell us about the title and a little bit about how you came out with the idea for this book.
Sure. So the universe told me I had to write a book because everybody kept asking. So what I did is I emailed out all my girlfriends and I said, okay, you guys, I have to write this book. What should I write about? And everyone came back. Every single person came back with a different topic. Oh, you have to write about this. You were so good at this. I have no idea how you do it. Da, da, da. So I ended up writing about a chapter on each of their suggestions.
Well, it is fascinating. As I said, I don't know where exactly to start, but let's start with the wedding, because it is June and people are having weddings all summer long, especially here in Florida. People come down to have weddings in the beautiful weather. So tell us some of your wedding ideas.
I probably put on more than 30 weddings myself. Not just my wedding, but a lot of my clients' weddings. And the very first piece of advice I tell everybody is tell your providers you're having a party, not a wedding. because instantly your price will go up. I booked the same venue, I booked the same makeup people, and the second I told them it was a wedding, boom, the price went up. So that's the very first thing I say to everybody. Don't tell all your providers necessarily that it's a wedding.
Well, that's a very clever idea. I never thought of it, and I thought afterwards, you're probably right.
Yep.
So what else about weddings that we should know?
Well, the one thing that everybody wants to do is save money on weddings, and the easiest way to do that, of course, is to get your friends to provide something for the wedding rather than have them just give you a gift and show up at the wedding. So one of the things I recommend is, example, florists. Flowers are incredibly expensive for weddings, and they're incredibly easy to make if you don't want the big elaborate thing. So I always say to everybody, if you're watching costs on a wedding, get someone to do your flowers. Go to the dollar store and pick up some great vases, and then, you know, go to your local supermarket and pick up 1,000 roses at one-tenth of the price that you would pay decorating all the tables through a florist area.
Well, tell us where some of your background, some of the businesses that you've been involved in that would give you some of these ideas.
I just sold my business. We had an English school that we taught international students English from all over the world. And with part of the school, one of my big, big parts of my life is celebrating each and every moment. So with the school, we would have the student of the class, we'd have the student of the month, we'd have different goals for the staff. And so every time that I can come up with, I would have a situation where it would make people celebrate. And one of the things that were most popular with my staff is every couple months I would hold the Cappuccino Awards, and I would go out and buy $5 coffee cards for all of my staff, and what I asked them to do is stand up and give it to someone on their team that helped them out the most in the last couple months. And as a boss, what you get to see is you get to see the team players and who's actually, you know, helping other people out, and constantly you'll see, oh, isn't that funny? That person never got a coffee card last time or this time, so that might be something to focus on. But the Cappuccino Awards and the Giving Awards is something that's resident in my life.
Well, of course, that entire section talking about running a business, about hiring employees, about how to treat employees, that's a big part of the book. And I, as someone who's had many businesses myself and employees, I thought the suggestions are really great.
Oh, thank you. It's an important thing. If you interview employees, you'll find the constant review is that I like to go to work because I like the people that I work with. And so as a boss, your job is to make your staff as comfortable as you can with them. So I always had other rules. I would say, listen, we don't discuss politics, we don't discuss religion, you know, keep all your dirty jokes out of the staff room, no swearing at work. So there's a few easy tips that you can give your staff to make sure that everybody's feeling comfortable with each other at work.
Talking about jokes, the fun thing about your book is that at the end of each chapter, you have a joke.
I've always started my staff meetings with a joke. And with my staff, I had a lot of international staff on staff. So you can't just say one kind of a joke because somebody from Japan or somebody from South America won't get that humor. So my jokes are kind of tried and tested to make sure that that everybody kind of gets them. And I really enjoyed using them.
Well, and it is important. And I think it makes it very, I think anybody who gets this book, they'll read it through once, and then they'll go back and they'll read the joke page again because they're really good. I found them so completely new to me, you know, and very original. And I thought, oh, I really enjoy this.
There you go. And in a month now, everybody will know these jokes, and then we'll have to come up with new ones.
That's it. Well, as I said, you have so many subjects in this book from business advice and wedding advice and just personal advice about how to make your life easier, how to stay connected with your partner. So tell us some of the advice in those areas.
Areas? So what the biggest decision you're ever going to make in your life is your partner. Who you marry or who you're with is that person has to be a good decision. So I always tell young people, if there's any gut feelings about this may not work, let's not rush forward on this, because it literally is the biggest decision you'll make. And then, because I'm fortunate enough to have a wonderful man in my life, we work very, very hard on keeping our relationship a priority. We sit down, we have the wedding checkup lists every couple of years. How am I doing as your wife? How am I doing as your lover? You know, is there something else I could be doing for you to feel more loved? And we'd have this conversation. And then if things need adjusting, then we know what the other is going through. Because sometimes in life, you just get so busy. You've got kids and you've got things to do, and you forget that your partner is the biggest person in your life that you should be dealing with. So one little tip I give is that every time your partner comes home, jump up and welcome them home. It takes little time. It takes very little effort. I mean, we always did that when we were dating, but why is it in marriage that you don't jump up anymore? So that's my advice to everybody, is as soon as your partner comes home, jump up and welcome them home.
And I would add, kiss them goodbye when you leave.
There you go.
It's such a simple and wonderful thing to do. Just that moment where you say, love you, I'm off, but I'm thinking about you. I think that is so very important to do that. So
yep,
you have love and marriage. And then, of course, one of the things that has really been a major part of your life, your travels. You have traveled so much. I mean, it's really quite amazing.
I literally started traveling when I was my first job out of the door. So I was on vacation by myself when I was 20 or 21 years old, and I went to Club Med on vacation. And I was every night I wore my own designs that I had created. And the end of the week, I was lying on the beach. I'd even checked out of my room waiting for my flight. And the chief of the village comes over to me and says, "Hey, I hear you sew." I said, "Well, I do." And he said, "Well, would you like a job as the costume designer here?" And I asked him about three questions, and I said, "Sure." I phoned my mom, and I phoned the guy that I was living with and said, "I'm not coming home." And I literally never went home. And I've been to 122 countries around the world.
Wow. And the little stories that you have about them are so fascinating. I know that people will really, once they read your book, they'll say, "Well, I've got to start traveling here. I've got to see some of this stuff."
Exactly.
Because you have
I tell a lot of young people, and I don't know why in this generation of young people, but they're really going through a struggle deciding what college they want to go to or what subjects they should take. And my advice to everybody, especially at that age, is just take some time off and travel by yourself. When you're by yourself, you get to know who you really are. You get to know your wants and your needs a lot more. So I recommend everybody, you know, take a trip before you start college and decide what you want to do for the next 2 to 4 years of your life and figure out who you are.
Well, I think a lot of them, if they did that, they would also, by the time, you know, they come back, they've had time to think of exactly what they want to do, and they won't waste. So many kids go straight into college. They're really not prepared for it. They land up doing stuff that they, you know, should have done in high school, in college. They're not motivated. Whereas when you've traveled for a while, you sort of start realizing you have to get down to the essence of what you want to learn. You don't want to waste
absolutely.
Your time
taking. And it just seems. Yeah, it's I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what this group of young people are going through, because they all seem to struggle. Oh my gosh, I've got to get into college and I've got to do this. I'm like, well, I don't know very many people in my life that are in the same job that they went to school for. So, you know, you don't need to have put so much pressure on yourself to figure out your life in the next 6 months of high school grad.
And to get into debt in 4 years straight out of high school. 4 years later, you owe more money than your you know your parents ever owed, and you're like in this endless cycle of really a disaster, unless you're studying something like sometimes a serious subject where you're studying medicine or you're studying you're dedicated to that subject. But generally speaking, if you're doing political science, my goodness. Go get a job.
Yep,
if you're studying, you want to get a degree in art history. Don't start with college. Start with a trip to Italy. Then when you go,
absolutely.
Then when you go back to college and you say, now I want a degree in, you know, in art history. Now I know what I want.
Exactly. And the other advice I give to young people is don't get one summer job. Get like three summer jobs. Get three part-time summer jobs, not one that you work 40 hours in, because you're going to learn from each and every job that you're at, how to deal with people, how to be managed, and so that's my big suggestion too. Is if you have a part-time job, great, but have more than one kind of part-time job. It's amazing what skills you can learn from things like that.
Well, I think your advice is wonderful. It's called Things I Only Tell My Friends, and you have a website.
Oh, I do. It's thingsionlytellmyfriends.com.
That's an easy one to remember. And, you know, Lori Ann, I think that what I most enjoyed about your book is that you have this, what I call joy, because I wanted, when I did this program, I wanted people to find the joy in not just writing, but also in reading. And I think you impart that. You've based, you know, everything, and you've just tried it. You've gone out there and said, let's do it, and let's make something good out of it.
Yep, exactly it. Highly recommend it. Just take your and then it happened moments and run with it. Follow your own instinct and don't listen to the naysayers. Just trust your own judgment.
And I will add to people, particularly in the summer, if there are so many little bits and pieces in this book that are just absolutely so useful. And at the last last chapter, you have keep adding to your bucket list, which I was a little bit against that term because it sounds like the end, and I call it the joy list. Add the things in your life that you want, the joys that you want to have, the places that you want to see and do, and add more strings to your bow. And I think we just lost the connection to New York. Okay, well, that's all right. I had already said nice things to her, and I'm sure that you will enjoy this book. It's by Lori Ann Keenan, and it's interesting. Her website is called Things I Only Tell My Friends, and you can go on there, and she has a lot of things that are fascinating. She has an entire area about travel, and as I said, she has traveled, as she said, 120 countries, and all of you, if you're out there, we have some friends who recently got married, and they are young, and they are taking a 1 month trip to Europe, and it is a wonderful thing to do at a, you know, particularly when you know, you have to get out there and learn something about the world. And I will tell you one thing. I don't know anybody who's traveled the world who doesn't come back to America and say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for America. Because although it's fun, it's absolutely wonderful to travel and to see all these places. I know that it's so funny. When you come back and you say, it's like the first time when you've been out for like a month or so and you come back, you say, whoa, this is really great. I can breathe free. And so it's a wonderful thing. And I'm really want to wish Christian and Kaylin, who are going to be traveling all over Europe, and they done it the right way. I think it's very clever to take boat tours, because it really makes it makes it easy. You don't have to keep packing and unpacking. So, you know, take some advice. If you're planning to travel, you might really look at this. At the end of her book, she has an entire checklist of things that you need to do when you're traveling. Ideas on your planning, everything from packing to the things that you should think about doing. And one of the things, of course, I want to tell all of you, if you are going on a trip, think about the fact that maybe someday you will want to write a book about it. And this is important, that you look around you and really become observant. Say, you know, how would I describe this place? I'm sitting here in this cafe, and I'm looking out, and maybe one day I'm going to write a cozy mystery, and my character will be sitting right here in this seat. How can I bring it back to life? How can I collect characters, make notes, and just it's so much fun to think of yourself as a writer. How you would handle a situation. So I think it's always so exciting for everyone to think that you, one day, right now you might, you know, be, you know, an insurance salesman, or you might just be, you know, whatever. And you say, I'm not going to write a book. But the time comes when you retire and you say, yeah, you know, I've done this, I've been there, and I would like to put it down in a book. And if you've made some notes, and a lot of people nowadays, you know, you live so instantly on Facebook, and you put everything on Facebook, but you don't actually physically write notes or keep a journal. And it is so great to have a journal to go back and to look at where you've been and what you've done. And among the lovely things to do, I know that I always enjoy when I am reading a book. I love to know what people were eating at a certain place. I love to even know the price of something. So it sort of sets your book in time and place. And all of this, all you have to do is just keep a little journal and keep writing it down. And you never know when you're going to actually have time. You know, you might. You might be laid off, or you might be like Lee Child, and you might get fired. For all of you out there who need inspiration, remember that Lee Child was 39 years old when he was fired from a job that he loved, a job that he planned to do for the rest of his life. He was a television producer, and it's a fun job to be a television producer. And when you're a television producer, you think, it's never going to end. I'm going to be here because television's here, and I'm here, and... But he was fired, and of course he got very, let's put it mildly, a bit upset. And he did not think of it as an opportunity, but it turned out to be an opportunity. And thanks to having a wife who supported him and said, go for it, he sat down and he wrote the Jack Reacher books. And now look at him. Do you realize that Lee Child is selling one book every 7 seconds a day? Every 7 seconds. Oh, it just goes on and on. So you never know where opportunity will knock you on the head, and then you have to start writing. And if you've been smart enough to keep some notes and some background information on the places that you've been, and sort of keep track of some of the characters you've known over the years, and even just names. I always love when I get a book and there's some new name in there. There's some name that I hadn't thought about. And I recently had a guest on named Jerry Padovano, and I just love that name. I get such a kick. I say, Jerry Padovano, Padovano, Padovano. I think it would be just a wonderful name for somebody in a book, because one of the things, and I'm really getting crazy, besides the fact that I was for a while there not reading any books that had the word girl in it, I do get very bored when I read the same name over and over in books. So be a little bit creative and come out with some nice names like Padovano. I'm sure that would make a wonderful detective. So, you know, you never know where inspiration will hit, but you have to be open for it. And again, I want to tell everyone that please go to my website, and I have up there some very nice interviews. Mostly, I want to encourage all of you to buy books for all the children in your life. I was very happy that I've been talking to Scholastic and to National Geographic authors, and you can go to my website and see some of the books that I recommend there for children, because it's so important that children read during the summer. And I am even going to invite some children to be on the program sometime in July to come in and talk about the books that they love and about why they love to read. And so I'm really excited. I'm just arranging that now. And we'll have a bunch of little munchkins in here, and it's going to be fun. I'll bring them in and just let them have that enthusiasm that's so important. If you start a child off reading when they're young, they will continue reading. And if you go to seniors' homes, you will see that the people who are the most dynamic, the people who are the most interesting, are the ones who are still reading. So it's a gift that lasts a lifetime. So I hope that you'll check out these two books of the people I interviewed today, Gail Massey, The Girl from Blind River, and she did a wonderful job for somebody here in Florida, and she writes about New York so beautifully. And as a matter of fact, it actually reminded me of Northern Michigan. So, and we have casinos up there too. And in my mind, that's how I visualized it. It's an excellent book. And Things I Only Tell My Friends, as I said, by Laurie Ann Keenan. She's just a delightful person, I think, to read, and you do really feel like she's a friend as you're reading this book. And I just, you know, it's proves that anyone can write a book. If you have it in you, if you have an idea, sit down and start writing a page a day. It's quite amazing, you know, how your head is full of ideas and you have lots of things that you want to share, but you don't because you think that you can't. But once you start writing that page a day, it comes across. And so I just want to encourage all of you to do that. And what else? Oh, I have so many wonderful authors coming up. One that I'm really looking forward to is David Baldacci. And he has a surprising new book coming up. And it's always so exciting to talk to him. And please also, I love Tim McGee's book, Worthy McGuire. It is a for anybody who has any family who's been in World War II, or for anyone who was themselves, you know, related to somebody in World War II, you will really enjoy this book. It puts a different it just looks at D-Day in a different way, and it's a very touching book, and I hope that you will get it. I want to also say, you know, remember that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, like I hope Carol J. Perry will be, because I love her books, her Witch City Mysteries, and see them on Lifetime or Hallmark Channel as a mini series. So I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed always for Carol J. Perry, because her books are wonderful. And that's it. I want to just say something nice to somebody. I'll say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And everybody, just have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now.